This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. Decades before the reality television craze, my guests, Susan and Alan Raymond, brought the life of a real American family to television. In 1973, their 12-part public television series, An American Family, showed the day-to-day life of Bill and Pat Loud and their children, Lance, Grant, Kevin, Delilah, and Michelle. TV viewers watched the marriage break up and watched Lance live an unconventional life as a young gay man, inspired by Andy Warhol and his crowd. Tonight, most public television stations will show a new documentary by the Raymonds about the death of Lance Loud. He died in December of 2001, at the age of 50, of liver failure caused by hepatitis C and HIV. Here's a clip in which Lance Loud is explaining why he invited the Raymonds to make a film about his final days.
It just came into my mind, and I thought, I can't leave the planet without some form of closure from the series. Because I didn't think that the series, when last seen in the series, we were a desperate group. My parents were divorcing. I was heading towards drugs and slow destruction. Everyone was cut off from each other. And that's not the case of what it has become. I mean, we're still together. We still love each other very, very much. I want a happily ever after, and if it can't be mine, it'll be someone in my family's.
After tonight's broadcast of Lance Loud, A Death in an American Family, public TV stations will show the second episode of the 1973 Loud Family series, in which Lance's mother visited him in New York, where he took her to see a performance by drag queens from Warhol's crowd. Here's Lance and his mother having dinner after the performance.
Oh, some of the one-liners were so good, I couldn't believe it. Candy diaries.
I don't like things that make me feel uncomfortable and embarrassed, and it did.
Well, no, I just thought of it as a variety show, you know?
Yeah,
a transvestite variety show.
That's really what it is.
Well, it was certainly a grand entrance into New York, I want to tell you.
I know, what a day this has been.
I spoke with documentary filmmakers Alan and Susan Raymond about their series on the Loud family and their new film about Lance Loud. In this era of reality television, with shows like The Osbournes and The Anna Nicole Smith Show, I think it's very interesting to look back on An American Family, you know, which premiered in 1973, and talk a little bit about what went into that. How was the Loud family chosen as the family to build this reality series around?
Well, none of us knew it was going to be a series, for starters. Everybody, including the Louds and us, thought it was going to be an hour, and it just kept growing and growing and growing until we eventually lived with the family for 7 months daily. So it was a very intense experience for us. And the producer of the series chose the family, and he was a New Yorker who wanted a California family. He's very specific about that. Took him a long time to find a family, and eventually this was his selection. And
we should say we weren't involved in the selection of the Louds. Mm-hmm. The original producer of the series, Craig Gilbert, picked them. It's always been a kind of open question as to what extent he was aware of any marital problems. We're of the opinion that he may have suspected them, and that could have been part of his reason for selecting the Louds. I'm not sure that he knew Lance was gay, because Lance was living in New York at the time he met with the family in Santa Barbara. I think he knew that he was living in New York at the Chelsea Hotel, so he might have suspected something in the way of a counterculture lifestyle. But when we started filming, the actual first day's filming of the series was in New York City at the Chelsea Hotel when Pat showed up to, you know, start that week's visit.
First roll of film was Lance on the phone in his room with all those people swarming around, and then we went down to the curb and met Pat on camera and just followed them for that week. So Pat and Lance were just thrown into it with cameras walking through the door. That was it.
So the producer who chose the Loud family for the series didn't necessarily know that Lance was gay. Did Lance's parents know that he was gay?
I'm pretty confident they did.
It's always been to us a kind of complex question as to what extent episode two, the episode in which Pat visits him in New York City, was an opportunity for Lance to demonstrate his gayness more openly.
I should say, in this
mother.
Episode, they go to they're hanging around with a lot of the Warhol crowd. They go to a performance of Warhol people, performance mostly by transvestites. So
right, her first night in New York City, he takes her to see Vain Victory, a Jackie Curtis play with Candy Darling and people like that,
mm-hmm.
Which was sort of throwing her, you know, into the fire, as it were, in terms of, you know, his lifestyle. Obviously, in the film, Pat says that, you know, she was aware he was gay at an earlier age and that the family accepted him, and I think that that's certainly credible. The degree to which he, you know, used the camera in episode 2 to kind of confront her a little bit more with that, I think, is a little more open question.
That's Lance. You see, I don't think Pat was shocked. I think America was shocked. I think that's where the series became so controversial and so riveting, because America was seeing things that they hadn't seen on mainstream television before. Lance had had this childhood relationship with Andy Warhol. He wrote letters to Andy. Andy wrote back. They had telephone conversations. So when he finally got old enough to get to New York and live his start his life, he wanted to go where Andy had went. So there he was in the Chelsea Hotel. He thought he was in Chelsea Girls too. So that's where that young man's mind was speeding forth, you know, he was going to live that life. And then Mom came to see what he was doing. And I don't know if she was that shocked. I think America was.
Did you have any ground rules for what was fair to shoot, what was off limits to shoot? If they said, this is a private moment, please remove the cameras, would you agree to that?
They didn't usually deal with it in that manner. Usually they would just simply be evasive. In other words, people would say, well, Bill, for example, we'd be sitting around Bill's office and he'd say, excuse me, I have to run to the bank, you know, to make a deposit. And in fact, he was getting his car and driving to Los Angeles for a week. And so, you know, 2 hours later, we'd realize he had sort of, you know, left. But no, there was really no preconditions, no understandings of any kind that certain things were off limit. I mean, we pretty much wandered around the house, stuck our noses in, you know, every
bedrooms,
room.
Bedrooms, bathrooms,
yeah,
garage bands.
And I think, you know, the famous scene in episode 9 in which Bill comes home from a business trip and Pat at that point asks him for a divorce. And then there's a kind of you know, confrontation between the two of them, and he eventually, you know, walks out of the house and leaves. And, you know, the camera goes down the hallway, and, you know, have a shot of Pat in the bedroom sort of crying, and Bill kind of going out the door in this angry way. I mean, they didn't really, you would have thought, you know, at a moment like that, they might have said, okay, this has gone too far, this experiment, you know, we have to stop at this point. But they didn't.
And we examined that when we made our film in 1983 to ask them about that night. And they all, five of them, had different perspectives on what happened. And I remember one comment about Bill, who didn't understand what was about to happen to him, because Pat had sent Grant to the airport and Grant was supposed to tell him, and Grant couldn't tell him, so he didn't give him any clue. And he came home and he said, well, and I pulled up in the driveway and the lights are on and the camera crew's in the house and everything was just normal. So that's the way their life was. We were part of their life. It was normal to have those lights on. It was normal for us to be walking around from room to room to room.
Normal because they became acclimated to you. But
And that was many months into the filmmaking. So
yeah,
that,
right.
I mean, I think
that
it's important to understand that, you know, unlike some documentary or many documentary films which are made, you know, are made over a relatively short production schedule, that kind of daily routine that we became part of, I think, allowed us to kind of go much deeper in, you know, into their intimate lives than probably, you know, many documentary, you know, filmmakers would get just by showing up for a few weeks or something
but
like that.
But I also think that after they started living with the camera, I mean, their arc of naivete changed, and I think Pat used the camera that evening because the camera gave her strength to do it, to speak to him, to confront him publicly rather than privately, because she wanted a witness, literally. And that's, I think that's why she did it. Because that, when he says in 1983, who's to say what would have happened if you weren't there? What would have what would that discussion have been like if we hadn't been there? But they didn't throw us out. And Pat, I think, wanted us to be there that night.
My guests are documentary filmmakers Alan and Susan Raymond. They made the groundbreaking 1973 series, An American Family, a 12-part documentary series about the Loud family. Their new documentary about the death of Lance Loud will be shown tonight on many public TV stations. When you were filming the Loud family at their most kind of private and devastating moments, like, for instance, when Pat asked Bill for a divorce, what sense of mission did you have in your mind that you were able to call upon to justify your presence there? I mean, most people don't feel comfortable when they're with close friends who are having a fight, let alone here you are filmmakers, you know, capturing the lives of people who had been strangers for you, knowing that you're going to be showing it to millions of people on television. So what was it that enabled you to justify that to yourselves as you were there?
Well, we did have a problem, and I was emotionally upset, and I remember Alan giving me a good shove on the back to get in that room, and at some point you had to realize, why were you there?
Alan, do you remember that moment that Susan just referred to when you kind of pushed her on the shoulder and said, come on, you got to get out there and film it?
Well, I think what happened was it was a kind of, you know, complex situation. As Susan said earlier, Pat had sent Grant, the youngest boy in the family, to pick Bill up at the airport. We had been on that business trip with Bill and had just returned.
We were in the back seat with Grant.
No, a day or so earlier than right. Bill had come back. So Grant was supposed to clue Bill in that he was coming home to this situation. He didn't do it. He didn't.
And we were with Grant meeting Bill at the airport.
Right. So then when we went back and we all came in the door and there was this sort of, you know, tension you could, you know, slice with a knife in the house, I don't think anybody really knew how it was going to play out. And Pat chose to sit in the living room to do it. And Bill kind of, you know, took his tie off and jacket off and put his suitcase down and sort of was wandering around. Eventually, you know, walked in the living room. And you know, I realized, as you know, the sound recording is an important part of cinema. But you had to sort of get closer. So, you know, Susan was, and I was sort of standing on the edge of it. And, you know, I did have to kind of push her in there.
Yeah, this is great, great, horrible moment where the cameraman decides to use his long zoom lens and the sound person's got to get in close. You know, they can hide in the hallway, but I got to get up close, you know.
But oddly enough, I mean, having said all that, they did, in fact, go through with the scene as if we weren't there. And I think, you know, as Bill said in 1983, and we used a bit of it in the Lance Loud film where he says, who's to say what would have happened if you had been there? I don't know. I mean, would he have gotten angry? As Susan suggested, did Pat feel protected in some way by the presence of the camera crew filming it? You know, or
but you know
verbally
what?
Abuser?
It seems to me that, you know, here's the Loud family kind of getting deeper and deeper into displaying their emotional lives on film for you. And as they're getting deeper and deeper into it, as they become more and more acclimated to your presence and to your camera and the sound equipment, it's not being broadcast yet. So they're getting deeper into it without having any sense of what it's actually going to be like once it hits television, once people actually see it. You know what I mean?
I think that's a very important point, that obviously you can act your life out in front of a camera, but as you just said, it's not, you know, it's not being beamed up to some satellite
exactly.
at that moment.
Exactly. Exactly.
It's actually 2 years later almost
right.
before the show is broadcast.
Right. So I could see why it could be so easy for them to slowly get acclimated, let down their guard, but then boom, a couple years later, it's actually broadcast. People are watching all of this. What do you remember most vividly about the Loud family's reaction to the series when it was broadcast on public television in 73?
Well, Pat was horrified, and Lance loved it, and Bill just took it on the chin. Bill just took it, you know, rolled with the punches.
I mean, we should say, if some of your listeners aren't aware, there was a tremendous media explosion that followed the series. 10 million viewers a week watch it. And this was on PBS, which I very few shows get that kind of a rating. The family ended up on the cover of Newsweek with a banner across the cover saying the broken family. They went on talk shows like the Dick Cavett Show, Donahue, those kind of things. And Pat Loud eventually wrote a book of her life story called Pat Loud, A Woman's Story. So there was a tremendous media explosion, but at the center of it essentially was a kind of, now I think we would think of it as a very cruel barrage of criticism leveled not at the series, but at the family's lifestyle. So I think it was very difficult for them to really look at the series with any kind of open mind at some point, because they were just responding to being called, you know, Shanna Alexander, Newsweek called them zombies, and A Glimpse into the Pit, Ann Royfe in a truly hateful article in the New York Times Magazine called Lance the evil flower of the family and a Goya-esque emotional dwarf. I mean, these were very cruel, mean-spirited kinds of comments about, you know, their lives. So who could kind of take that kind of criticism? No one, I don't think.
Tell me if you would agree with this. It seems to me that because Lance Loud was one of the stars, so to speak, of An American Family, the real documentary about his family's life, it was easy for him to get a recording contract for his band, the Mumps, and to be in the limelight. On the other hand, it was probably more difficult for him to be taken seriously, because once he got his recording, a lot of people just dismissed the band like, oh, that's just the kid from the Louds. No wonder he has a record. It's because that TV series made him famous, but he doesn't have any talent.
Well, we should say that Lance, for again, those who may not be aware of it, if you look at examine the New York City punk rock scene in the 1970s, Lance fronted a band called the Mumps that was actually a real band that played for many years at venues like CBGB's and Max's Kansas City. I actually would take exception to what you said, though, to the extent that I don't think they enjoyed any kind of recording career success. I think the fact that he was well known as an openly gay person actually hindered the success of the band, mm-hmm. to whatever degree the band had talent or not. And I think that they were kind of a fun band with Lance as a kind of funny frontman singer, and they had a dedicated following, but they didn't actually achieve much success, and the band actually fell apart after about 5 years, I think largely because people did feel that, as you suggested, he may have just been kind of, you know, using his media celebrityhood to...
But I think that's the value of the 30-year reflection and this last film, is that everyone wants to be famous now. Everybody even thinks they're entitled to it, like it should happen next week. I'm ready. And then this question really addresses the questions, okay, well, what are you going to do when it happens to you? How is it really going to affect you? Oh, yeah, you're going to parlay this into record contracts and book deals? Or is this going to haunt you for the rest of life? Are you going to be cast in a negative persona for the rest of your life that you're going to have to try to get out of? I mean, what does it mean to be for an ordinary person to be a celebrity?
What about the parents? What about Bill and Pat? How did they get cast, and how do you think it affected their lives to become famous?
I think that Pat tends to always believe that she's regretful of what happened. But on the other hand, she also had an entree into a certain world that was a great deal of fun. And she moved to New York and lived there for 10 years, and she became a literary agent and a publicist herself. And I think she enjoyed a certain cachet, for sure. I think Bill Loud was a very attractive man that women wanted to know after the series was over, now that he was a single divorcee. But then that all faded, you know. And I think that Bill had a strong enough ego that he just basically went on with his life, you know.
I think it's important to say that none of the family, with the exception of Lance, really remembered the series fondly. I mean, I think they all kind of felt it was in some way this huge era in judgment, you know, to agree to be the subjects of the series, that even though they did get a certain media celebrityhood, in the end it kind of hurt the family. And I think that was part of what Lance tried to do with this last documentary, we made with him, which was to kind of show that the family had kind of survived, that you know, they were loving. I think it was important to him to show that he had patched up his relationship, for example, with his father, who had always appeared in earlier episodes as being, you know, very judgmental of Lance's lifestyle. And you know, it's so hard to sort of talk about them in a way that would divorce them from that experience. I think that they just see it in largely negative terms.
My guests are Alan and Susan Raymond. Their new film is about the death of Lance Loud. More after a break. This is Fresh Air. My guests are documentary filmmakers Alan and Susan Raymond. They made the groundbreaking 1973 series An American Family, a 12-part documentary series about the Loud family. Their new documentary about the death of Lance Loud will be shown tonight on many public TV stations. I think the two main things you could expect to get out of a series, a reality series like An American Family, is one, fame, because assuming people tune in, that's going to happen. But the other is self-knowledge. If you were actually watching a playback of your life, you'd probably learn something about yourself. It may or may not be something that you're happy to have learned. Do you think that there was self-knowledge that came out of the series?
Well, we always find that showing the film to the subjects is the worst thing you can possibly do, because they can't judge mm-hmm. how they appear and look. But I think the real question is, what is the purpose of this film? Is this the purpose of this film to teach the Loud family how to become better parents or more loving siblings? No, that's not the purpose of the film. The purpose of the film is to reflect American family life. And that's was what they did do. And things changed in that decade because of American Family. You know, at the beginning of the decade, it was a scandal to have a divorce. At the end of that decade, the divorce rate has hit 50%, where it has stayed since the 70s. For some strange reason, it gave forth to all of these talk shows, these endless programs that come on, and everyone talks freely about intimate things just to be on TV. That didn't happen before 73. People came on talk shows to promote things. Now they're just, you know, endless programs on confessing intimacies. And also it also changed feature films. It had a huge, profound ripple effect into American culture.
Are there parts of this ripple effect that you're proud of and others that you're not so proud of?
Well, I think that, you know, like Frankenstein's monster, it's a mixed blessing to be considered, you know, someone who sort of spawned this reality TV genre. I mean, I think it's a sort of largely superficial, stupid genre of television programming that I don't think is, as a documentary filmmaker, I take much pride in. I also believe that although I think you could, you know, say there were controversial elements to An American Family, and that, yes, maybe it was a quote-unquote reality TV series as we now think of them, it was also a serious documentary. You know, they weren't the real cast of the real world who had been brought together in some fabulous Soho loft to quibble over, you know, who ate the container of Haagen-Dazs last night. I mean, they were a real family living in their real homes, going through the throes of an important period in their lives. And so, no, I'm not in any way proud of any of the shows we've got. I mean, when I flip by the Annie Nicole show, I want to vomit to think that people actually think this is worth, you know, watching Anna go to the dentist and, oh, she doesn't like to have her teeth worked on. Cares, you know, she's a superficial, stupid person who doesn't deserve this show, and it all it becomes is a kind of voyeuristic exercise.
What are some of the things that you learned about filmmakers? And I'm thinking specifically that when you started shooting the Loud family in their home, you were in some ways probably as inexperienced and naive as they were about what the real results of this were going to be once it hit TV. And you saw surprising media backlash, a lot of criticism against the Louds. You saw the Louds be upset at the results of the broadcast and the reactions to it. So what are some of the things you learned about the impact that your movies could have on the lives of the people who were in those films?
I think it had a very large impact on our filmmaking approach. The good part was we learned how to make films. We shot 300 hours of footage. We perfected our cinema verite approach to filmmaking, and we realized that the bonding of the relationship between the filmmakers of the subject was extremely important. So I think that you see that in the rest of our films, whether it's Police Tapes or the children in the refugee camps that we're talking to. We are able to get people to be relaxed on camera and talk to us candidly. I think my reaction from American Family is I said I'll never do another film on a family. They can't handle this. This is too brutal. So we went off and made films on policemen or a warden or a principal of a school, people who were public officials who need to be examined and need to explain to us their role and their responsibility and have accountability. But we did not do anything on ordinary people or families. Mm-hmm. I didn't think that they could handle that kind of scrutiny.
Susan and Alan Raymond, their new documentary, Lance Loud, A Death in an American Family, will be shown tonight on many public TV stations, followed by episode 2 of their 1973 documentary series on the Loud family. I'm Terry Gross. We'll close with Lance Loud and his band, The Mumps.
Well, on the outside, I'm a pretty cool guy. I'm not good looking, but still I try. On the inside, well, I'm frustrations galore. I've never had